In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen.
Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. I'm your host Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen before. Today joining us, having never seen Indiana Jones, is Ahmed Al-Qadri, first-time guest. So fun having Ahmed on here. He's never seen Indiana Jones, but he rewrote it, and we read what he thinks it probably is, and it's a lot of fun. I've also never seen Indiana Jones, so we have a good time with that. You're going to love the script. We play a very fun game I think we've done here before called Is This a Real or Fake Indiana Jones Movie Title, and it's just a really great time. Go find Ahmed online. Ahmed Loves Bread is going to be where you want to find him on Instagram and all those sorts of places. He's a hilarious stand-up comedian. There's a special coming out called Special Not Special that will be out February 24th via YouTube. So go ahead and go find him. Just so funny, so kind, charismatic, and a very fun episode. I think you're really going to love it. Once again, go check out his Special Not Special out on the 24th, which should be soon, right after this comes out. Thank you guys for listening. Please come find me on the road if you're in Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins, and then Pacific Northwest dates being announced soon. But these Denver, these Colorado dates are going to be at the end of March. Please, please, KyleAyers.com, you can find those tickets. Please tell your friends in the area. I really want folks to come out. This material about this brain situation I have going on has been a really wonderful thing for me to deal with it all, and it's been helpful. And I've had a good, you know, experience meeting people going through things as well that can kind of relate to laughing at some of the worst stuff. Anyways, KyleAyers.com for all those dates. It's going to be updated all the time. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kyle Ayers. Find the show, doing a bunch of fun stuff all over the place. Instagram's your best place to keep up. And even then, I kind of stink at it. So please, this is honestly my best way to get a hold of people. So I would love it if you made it out to some shows. Thank you so much. Please enjoy. Ahmed Al-Qadri has never seen Indiana Jones. Great, but we're getting it. We're good. We're going.
Yeah,
awesome. Good. Thank you for being here, Ahmed. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You've never seen Indiana Jones.
Never seen Indiana.
Any of the Indiana Jones?
None of them.
Any of
literally
them.
None of them.
Only Crystal Skull.
Only. Have you seen them, Tyler? We're also joined by Tyler Jackson.
Hi. I've seen all five of them.
Five.
There's five.
See, now I like couldn't confidently tell which ones were which, or like how many there had been and what it is. It just sort of started to become like a Star Wars type of thing.
Yeah, I know it's also George Lucas, right?
Yeah, yes,
like him and Spielberg.
I haven't seen them either.
I believe Spielberg.
You've never seen
I haven't
any?
Seen them either.
Okay,
no.
Like,
yeah.
I think Lucas like wrote it and produced it, and Spielberg directed the whole
yes,
ones.
Yes, that's right.
I think that's the
that's right
combination.
And then for Star Wars, George Lucas, Spielberg was on the set of Star Wars because George Lucas was actually directing that one, and then Spielberg was the one that told George Lucas, "Hey, like this is a really good story, but no one knows what's going on, so you have to do that bio."
That's really?
Yeah, the
that's
story.
So funny.
So the storytelling before the Star Wars episode, he was like, you got to let people know.
That was Spielberg?
Yeah, that was Spielberg.
Who was like, you make so little sense. We need, people will even be willing to read.
Yeah.
That's like how he's like, I think your movie's so good, but it makes so little sense. You have to trust Americans to read.
Yeah.
A little advice from old Spielberg, tell, don't show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Famous movie.
I remember the big scrolling wheel before Jaws.
Yes.
Where it was like, there's a big shark. That was it. That's all it said. He's like prefacing it. I have heard, I love, it feels like there used to be like eight people in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, you'll just hear all the stories and it's like, George Lucas was hanging out on Steven Spielberg's set. And you're like, what? They weren't busy. They didn't have stuff to do. But there was like so few. There's like a story about who did the Jaws scores at John Williams.
Yes.
Just where he, Jaws came out. We did an episode of this. We talked about like the anniversary of Jaws and stuff. And so I learned all this stuff from getting I read the packet with the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And John Williams called Steven Spielberg at like 3 a.m. and was like, I figured out the score. And Steven Spielberg was like, great. Can I hear it? And he's like, you have to come over. I have to play it for you. And he's like, okay, I'll come over tomorrow. He's like, you need to come over now. And he's just like, I can't. And he's like, I'll send a car. because this can't just Uber in whatever 1970 or something like 1969. And so he sends a driver to pick up John Williams and bring him over, or pick up Steven Spielberg, bring him over, brings him into a studio and just goes and then like gestures. He's like, isn't that perfect? He plays the dun dun and then looks at Steven Spielberg like, isn't that it? Steven Spielberg's like, what? He's like, but we speed it up. And then Steven Spielberg's like, it was the greatest moment of my life. Like, dude, it's two notes. Oh my like, God. There used to be, I feel like, it feels like, sometimes it feels like in comedy, because you hear stories about old comedians where they're like, well, I wanted to work on The Simpsons, so I showed up and they gave me a job.
Right, right.
And you're like, so what the fuck? Harvard
Didn't Spielberg break into one of the, I think it was Paramount Studios. Oh, Paramount or Universal, one of the studios. But he broke in, he found an office that no one was using, and he was just working in that office. Yeah, that was like a real, that was before he got Jaws, yeah.
Oh my God.
It was like
God.
It's on HBO, it's a documentary of how he
that
did
is,
it.
It just seemed like, you know, now they frown on that.
Yeah.
If you break into a
Dude,
studio.
Dude, they frown on, just overall, like they frown on you walking into an office and handing them a resume. They frown on that. It's like, fucking email it, you piece of shit.
They like frown on you having a meeting set up. Yeah. You're like, actually, I have a scheduled meeting. They're like, oh God.
Yeah, people now frown if you call them.
Yeah, they do.
It's so you, like, why did you just, or
couldn't you send me a long scrolling thing I could watch to catch up in the conversation?
Yeah. I'm a FaceTime guy. Are you guys FaceTime guys?
No,
I get in just me. Like I get in weeks where I want to impromptu FaceTime people to catch up.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's like you stabbed them. They're so upset that you do it out of nowhere.
For me, I FaceTime all my. Well, I FaceTime my brothers a lot, but and my friends. I think it's like a maybe a cultural thing. I think because with Arabs are very like, yeah, just FaceTime me.
Yeah.
With most people, it's like, yeah, it's like you can't just be FaceTiming people out of nowhere.
I think anytime like, I answer a FaceTime, it's just somebody going, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to FaceTime you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, or maybe it's because I'm insecure. I need to know. I need to have the validation that you like me. So I need to see that smile.
We need that connection.
I need that connection. That. Give me your number.
My parents like figured out FaceTime during COVID. That was their thing. They have it on their computer. They didn't have like cell phones or anything. And so they were on the computer and they were like, you can do like a, you can see each other on these.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's what you thought phones were the whole time. Do you know what I mean? Because like older people have this unfair thing they thought technology should. They learn about technology and they're like, well, I want to do everything. Like immediately.
Right.
They're like, why can't my cell phone call everyone at the same time? And you're like, well, you didn't even have this an hour ago. And now you're like mad at its limitations. But they figured out that they love FaceTime out of nowhere to show their face in the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom.
5% lower of the right corner. Looking at their own photo the entire time.
I have screenshots of every time I FaceTime my mom, screenshots of like different angles. Like I have one, it's just her and her, the bottom of her left tit, just of just that, because she was I was like, what? Like I never got a glimpse, full face.
Yeah,
glimpse of her full face on FaceTime.
I mean, that's what happens when that's the norm, is they just are casually FaceTiming you like and stuff and having it sit around.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna,
like,
they'll hit FaceTime and then just do this.
So you're just like watching the ceiling or the back of the table.
Just treating it like speakerphone.
Oh man. Well, let's talk about I don't want to talk too much about Indiana Jones before we do the script. Never seen any of them. Never seen any of them. What I would like to do before we get into the script is a game that's come up on here one other time about Indiana Jones. This is called Real or Fake Indiana Jones Movies.
Okay.
So I have five. And I have 9 Indiana Jones titles.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play Tyler since you
I know
say
there are 5.
There's 5 that are real. There's 4 that are not. Tell me if you think these are real or fake, okay? All we'll do it real quick. Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I'm going to go with real.
That one is real. Oh, Indiana Jones and the Caverns of Time.
Real.
That one is not real.
Oh, shit.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Real.
Okay, that one is real. Indiana Jones and the Curse of the Jade Monkey.
I'm going to go with fake.
That one is fake. I like Tyler like
these
seeing
are good.
These. Indiana
really
Jones
good.
And the Last Crusade.
Wait, that was the one last year. Real.
That one is real. Indiana Jones and the Secrets of the Sands.
The Secrets of the Sands? Grammatically, I'm gonna go with fake.
That is fake. It's supposed to be secret. I said it wrong. Okay. I screwed myself out of a win. Indiana Jones and the Lost City of El Dorado.
I want to say real.
Yeah, one is fake. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Fake.
That one's real.
Oh my God.
That's the one I mentioned earlier.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Oh, you said crystal and skull. Ah, God damn. Even in my script, I said skull. I was like, it's something. I guess I'm going to go with skull.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Fake.
That one is real as well.
I never realized how much overlap there is between like Indiana Jones movies and Prince of Persia video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Indiana Jones the Sands of Time.
My idea was Indiana Jones or Legends of the Hidden Temple on Nickelodeon was like what I was thinking in my head. Because I was like, I feel like these both put the same amount of effort into like indigenous representation.
Yeah. Indiana Jones and the Shrine of the Silver Monkey.
I just changed it to Jade Monkey because I was thinking of Legends of the Hidden Temple, like teams.
You, that one made me think of that Woody Allen movie, Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
Is that, that's a Woody Allen movie?
Yeah, oh yeah. And I just started picturing Indiana Jones played by Woody Allen.
Well, it's, you know, he hates different people now.
Why did it have to be snakes? Oh, God.
I'm going to throw this up on the Woody Allen subreddit and get some views. All right, so let's do the script here. I got copies. Is there anything you'd like to preface getting into what you did or didn't know?
Yes, yes. Two things. One, you mentioned indigenous representation. I wanted to make fun of that with one of the names.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was like, oh, yeah, usually it's like the most random. Like, the way they make up the names makes no sense. So I went with that.
I think my pages are a little off, so make sure you have all your pages
with
there.
Indiana Jones, I just assumed... Wait, did I print it wrong?
No. I tried printing back... here you go. Here's your final page, Tyler. I tried printing two-sided, and it kept jamming a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks for fixing the some of the... I've only written sketches.
Yeah.
So, if I'm being real with y'all, like I've written a lot of sketches.
It does not matter.
Yeah, I've written a lot of sketches. I've never written like a pilot or a movie script. So sometimes with
you, well, hey, you still haven't.
What?
Even with this, I wouldn't add that into that.
No. This is not a script. No, to me, I treated it like a sketch.
Okay.
Because you could even say like, I was like, okay, based off of some of my knowledge of Indiana Jones, I was like, okay, I know he's like, he has a whip, a cowboy. He's like a weird, cool cowboy with a lasso. Like, I just kept thinking cowboy.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe he's a badass. And then at the end of the sketch, I was like, okay, this kind of looks like an actual scene from an actual action movie.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me just make it funny. So at the end, it gets kind of absurd.
That is okay. I'm here for it no matter what.
I like absurdity.
Just let us know. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's also five of them, and that's hard to capture. Let us know who you'd like to play what characters.
I will play Indiana Jones.
Wow.
You will play, and there's two other characters. So
I mean, the cast of characters page is beautiful. This is a beautiful, really beautiful wonderful. Page.
You will play the bartender.
Okay.
And you'll just play King Jack.
Great. A lot's hinging on the voice I choose.
Yes,
continuation of this podcast or not.
You know what? I'm not gonna say anything. I'm gonna just give you full.
Great. And if you wanted to do any directing during it, you're allowed to as well.
Okay. I'm gonna give you full full range. You do whatever you think the voice should be, you give it. All right. I should have listed the other cast of characters, but yeah.
If anyone else pops up, you can just cast it as we go.
It's just bartender and you. That's it. Bartender and King Jack. The bartender is just a regular bartender.
I like that's why I didn't King really. Jack is like sounds like what is? I don't know. It's so funny to me for some reason.
Yeah,
it's the baby from The Incredibles.
Oh yeah,
grew up to be a king.
I don't know. I just put King Jack.
Sounds like something. I just don't know how these could hold up. Like the older ones, you're like, I saw how you guys showed other people in the 70s.
Ooh. There's one Indiana Jones movie in particular that I'll.
That has, okay, we'll talk.
Fun facts for.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about it a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Please tell me. Please, after, tell you what, and last, before we start reading, mm-hmm. I will start watching the Indiana Jones movie. I'm sure it's on like HBO
yeah.
or Amazon Prime.
I think when the new one, Netflix. Like I generally think if a new movie is coming out from a franchise, someone buys the old ones yeah. and throws them up to take advantage of all that. Right. What was the one? Dial of Destiny was last year. Yes. That was the newest one.
Yeah. That was the last one. Okay.
Which is, it's all right title.
Yeah.
I don't know why I have such a stress. Because I wrote five titles. I'm like, I have opinions on the titles of the movies.
You're an expert now.
Okay. I am King Jack Jack.
Jack Jack. All right. It was another job for Indiana Jones. Lasso on hip, cargo pants, new boot goofing. Cowboy hat, medium-sized shirt on a large man getting ready for some action. Jones walks into a dingy dive bar.
It's so funny calling him Jones. It's so funny to me. If like,
is his first name really Indiana?
I don't know, but it's like if you called Han Solo Solo. It just feels like a first. It feels like a. I've never. I don't know. I love it. Hilarious to me.
Indiana Jones. I thought his name was Jones. He just happens to be from Indiana.
I think what is his first? It's like Henry or something.
No way. Hank Jones. Didn't he die today? Who was that country singer that just died?
Toby Keith.
That's Keith, right. I was close. Anyways, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, you're good. Jones walks into a dingy dive bar in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Everyone at the bar is staring down at Jones as if he is the first of his kind, parentheses, white person, to walk in such a hole-in-the-wall establishment. Jones walks over to the bartender. I would like to order a hot toddy.
What the fuck did you just call me?
Tequila soda. Bartender grunts and starts pouring him a drink. Oh, and can you get me the tiny umbrella on my drink? I'm on vacation.
Vacation, huh? What do you find about this place so relaxing?
Everyone around him at the bar is staring down at him. Jones' back is towards them, but he could feel their eyes beaming right at him. Jones, nonchalantly, I just feel very welcomed here. Bartender places his tequila drink in front of Jones. Jones takes a sip as he places his boots on the table. Bartender now feels disrespected.
This is not your fucking house. How about you show some goddamn respect?
King Jack Jack comes in. King Jack Jack, leader of the Jack Jack clan, a tall, handsome, a tan man who keeps his cool, but boy, you don't want to piss him off.
Calm down, Book Book. This man here is our guest.
King Jack Jack wearing khakis and a button-down shirt where his unbuttoned shirt from the top half walks over to the bar. Sits next to Jones.
You sure like to push everyone's buttons.
As he loosens up another button on his shirt. Oh yeah, nonetheless.
Nonetheless, sorry I'm late. I got caught up with some lady troubles.
I've been there.
Now let's talk business. I invited you over to bring me the skull of Tutankhamun. It is of great value to me, so you'll be rewarded handsomely.
Oh, this old thing. Jones pulls out a small McDonald's bag and slides it over to King Jack Jack. Sorry, couldn't find a better bag to place it in.
You really are an impressive man, Indiana Jones.
Hey. It ain't free.
Yes, yes. Why, yes, of course.
King Jack Jack snaps his fingers, and two of his goons that were sitting behind him give him a hemp bag full of cash. Jones starts counting the cash. What is so important about that skull? Every museum only offered half of what you offered.
Well, you see, Jones, Tutankhamun is the youngest pharaoh that has ever lived. He ruled at 9 years old, but died at 19. It is said that his skull holds the power of youthful energy, dare I say, immortality.
Huh. Well, I'll be damned. Who the hell want to live forever? Makes life less interesting.
I guess I am a boring man. Pleasure doing business with you.
King Jack Jack and Indiana Jones shake hands. Jones finishes his drink and stands up. All of a sudden, everyone at the bar stands up. Jack Jack's goons stand between him and the exit door.
You really need to stop being so trusting.
Jack Jack goon starts walking towards Indiana Jones. Huh. "You know, this is a real shame. Had I known you were the double cross type, I would have worn my work outfit." King Jack-Jack looks confused. "As I said, I'm on vacation." Jones takes the tiny umbrella and stabs King's Jack-Jack in the eye. He grabs a McDonald's bag and a hemp bag and jets over to the exit door. King Jack-Jack yelling in pain, pulling the toothpick out of his eye.
Get him!
Jones whips out a leather daddy flogger whip. "I said, I'm on vacation." Jones starts whipping the goons one by one, making them orgasm so hard they lose control over their legs. All of a sudden, a giant man blocks the exit door. The giant man swings at Jones. Jones dodges the punch with ease, gets under his legs, pulls out a butt plug. "I said, I'm on vacation." Shoves the plug right up the giant's butt. Okay. He then runs out of the bar, jumps in his Jeep Wrangler, and drives off into the hazy Sahara Desert. King Jack-Jack runs out of the bar yelling so he could hear.
"This won't be the last time, Indiana Jones."
And scene.
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, I think one thing that you for sure nailed is probably product placement. I was like, I can see these new ones having a McDonald's bag in them. Oh, and like a Jeep, specifically like a Jeep.
Yeah, a Jeep Wrangler. Yeah, I was thinking product placement as well. That's why I threw it in.
Oh, man.
That like legitimately felt like the opening scene of an Indiana Jones
movie. Really?
Yeah. Because there's always like a little cold open scene where he's like in the middle of some other adventure that's unrelated to the rest of the movie. Like Temple of Doom. He brings a diamond to a guy, and the guy double crosses him.
No
and
way.
And there's a shootout.
And that's just an opening that has nothing to do with the plot. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
So you completely nailed it. You kind of nailed
it. Yes. I was thinking like a Western. You know what I mean? A lot of movies are based off of these Westerns where it's like this guy comes in where he's out of place. He's from out of the town, there's a gunslinging shootout.
Yeah.
You know?
At the beginning of Temple of Doom, it's like he's in the middle of like a nightclub in Singapore or something. So he's like the only white guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we might get in trouble for copyright infringement.
what if the writers of the next Indiana Jones movie, they're like, oh my God.
They're like, if you see King Kaj in the next one, and you're like, wait a second, you just changed the name around on me?
Yeah,
steady now, Buck. I can imagine Jonathan Rhys-Davies as that king.
All right, well, I want to talk more about Indiana Jones, but what we're going to do real quick is take a little bit of a break. All right, we are back. Great movie about dinosaurs. Also, what is happening now? You remember We're Back? Anyways, no one remembers that movie.
A Dinosaur's Tale?
We're Back, A Dinosaur Tale. Story? It like tried to be like Dinosaurs Got to New York cartoon. There was a video game. It could not matter less. Like nothing could matter less than that.
Rampage.
Right now.
Remember Rampage?
I do remember the game Rampage.
It was a fun game.
It was a little bit like that, but like happy. The We're Back. Like the dinosaurs were misunderstood.
They were like the good guys of the movie.
There's a memory I have of playing Rampage on the NES, the original Nintendo, with my sister, and you couldn't save games, so we had to leave it on for a couple days to beat the game. And it's very repetitive, you know what I mean? But eventually you're on the moon, punching the moon to destroy it, like a space station, like a little like moon station, and we beat the game, and all it did was go, congratulations, and reset. There was like no cutscene. There was no excitement. You beat the whole game. It took the Nintendo is 700 degrees at this point because it's been on for 3 days.
It's glowing.
And then it goes, congratulations, and resets right away. The game just starts over.
It's like The Rock is going to make a shitty movie about this.
Oh, wow. I did forget about that.
Yeah, I just saw the trailer. I was like, Rampage. Wait. From
like
the
Rampage, Rampage?
I was like, from the
it's so funny, big. That repetitive arcade game, there's enough here. We could do this.
Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, you've seen Indiana Jones's Jones Eye.
Oh, yeah. All the Jones Eye.
What? It's funny in your script, you said, who wants to live forever? And I'm like, Harrison Ford. Like when you said, I'm like, this guy is still making movies.
Yeah.
He seems so unhappy.
Yeah, he has resting bitch face syndrome.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of his current day shtick. The whole like, I'm over it.
Yeah. He has been Han Solo for like 60 years, which might get exhausting outside. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's got to be rough. Indiana Jones is also a very big like Comic-Con crazy fan sort of thing. So, but he's very curmudgeonly now. He seems unhappy all the time. It feels like, have you seen the clip of David Blaine doing magic for Harrison Ford?
Yeah, and he told him to get the fuck out of
He tells him to get the fuck out of his house because he believes the magic trick like pisses him off.
Yeah. It was so funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing. I'm like, how I view that has changed in my life. The first time I saw the clip, I'm like, this is amazing. And now I'm like, look at that kitchen.
Like,
I'm literally like, how'd Harrison Ford afford this? Oh yeah. He's as rich as you could possibly be.
He's Harrison. Do you know who's the brighter side of Harrison Ford? Robert De Niro.
Yeah, he does seem to like go along with whatever he's doing.
He's a lot chill. I will say I had a lot of respect for Robert De Niro at the Golden Globes when Joe Coy was bombing his dick off.
Yeah.
Which as a comedian, I'm sure you're like, oh boy. Oh God.
I had to watch it afterwards and even then like pause it a few times.
Dude, because you like feel the bomb he's feeling. But like Robert De Niro, I think he's like a veteran. He's done stand up.
Yeah.
I think it was for that Martin Scorsese movie. Yeah,
King of Comedy.
King of Comedy, yeah. So he's like, but he has a lot of respect for stand-up comedians. Mm-hmm. So during Joe Coy's bombing, Robert De Niro was like cheering him on. Like
you can come see him on, like, buddy.
Come on, man.
Let's go, we got Joe.
Yeah.
Let's
go, Joe. They just superimposed Robert De Niro's face on a younger person to do stand-up comedy. Robert De Niro's like, he was at like one of the roasts he's too famous to just be so casually around people like happy.
Yeah.
It is weird when someone super famous is around comedians and you're like, you know, you don't have to be here, right?
Yeah. It's weird.
We're the worst.
Who's the most famous person you saw at a show?
Oh man, that's a good question.
There is one show where Awkwafina was there.
A comedy adjacent person.
But she's comedy. Yeah, that makes sense.
It is hard. I mean, John Mayer is around comedy all of the time, which is very odd. Blake Griffin. I met Blake Griffin in Montreal.
Kristen Stewart at the Clubhouse doing like an improv show once.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kristen Stewart, like you see her at the Groundlings now. Mm. Yeah, you'll just see her there doing improv.
Just want to tell these people, go be happy.
I think honestly that's what makes them happy.
Yeah.
Where it's like, because like, I mean, have you met famous people? Like,
they generally unhappy.
Like when TikTok started picking up for me, mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of like sketches in the beginning. I wasn't posting that much stand up, and I was getting invited to these content creator parties. Mm. I kid you not, guys, the most like insufferable people ever. It was just like all the, like, they're not even famous, but they just have followers. So you're only famous around your own followers. So they all come in with this ego, mm-hmm. and none of them have a sense of humor. So then, and then you like leave. I remember leaving a content creating party, and then I go to just comedy clubs, and you're hanging out with your friends, and you're like, oh yeah,
these are the funny people.
Yeah, you're like, this is much more down to earth.
I'm very uncomfortable in the content. I say it as content. Like, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I'm like very uncomfortable in that space.
Right.
I'm 35. And so I'm also like, I think sometimes older than a lot of the other people around it. And I'm not good at it. I don't dislike it. It's just it is like a weird thing. Stand up and what that is. Cause we see like a lot of people it doesn't translate to live. And they can't fathom that happening.
Dude.
So they like show up and you're like on a show with someone and someone's like, this person has 38 million followers. And you're like, they look like they've never talked to someone before.
Right.
Like in person.
Right.
And it's just a different muscle completely. A lot of things, acting, musicians, you know, comedy content creator mm-hmm. type of stuff. Stand up is like the thing to the left a little bit
mm-hmm.
where they're like, I'll do this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of clubs are like, oh, you got a bunch of people. We don't really care about the rest
business,
of it.
Yeah,
back home in Kentucky, in Louisville, like the biggest, like most widely known comedian was a guy who had like a prank channel on YouTube with like a ton of followers. And he like sold out the comedy club and I went to see him and it was just him like describing pranks that he had done.
And I was like, oh no.
I have like a
did he have a mullet?
Legally, probably, yes.
This is the beginnings of a mullet, maybe.
That's just hair.
Wait a minute. Was his name Danny Mullen?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had that's a fun name for a mullet guy.
Yeah,
for I have a complete respect and reverence for Theo Vaughn because he is someone who became famous in a not comedy way. He was on The Real World.
Oh.
Or The Road Rules, one of those.
Oh yeah.
And then kept
same
doing
Christina
kept doing Real World Road Rules challenges and Theo got really big on those. And then it didn't stop him from trying to get better
at stand up
yeah. and all of this sort of stuff. And whatever you think about his comedy or like, I think he is a very kind person mm-hmm. and a very funny person. And whatever you think about his comedy, whatever, like he's someone who could have coasted. I remember I worked at a comedy club before I ever did stand up.
Yeah.
I worked as like a door person, reservation person. Mm-hmm. And he came through as like the Real World guy. And everyone's like, oh my God, the Real World. This is before TikTok, before Instagram. It was like 2008. Mm. And he would come through and like really, really care. And just like really trying. First is I saw other people like coasting on a thing yeah. from then just into comedy. Maybe they played a character named Screech on a TV show or something.
Yeah.
And come in like, you know, that's a copyright free example. No, not anyone in particular who was Screech.
Public domain.
But it was just, and then he just kept trying. And then now it's like to get past the thing that got you in the door, because it's kind of like a shortcut.
Right.
To go from to be on The Real. It's sort of like The Miz in wrestling, right? Where yeah. he like got was also on The Real World and then still really tried at this thing. And now Theo's just independently.
Yeah, one of the biggest.
A huge comedian with everything going on. He just never quit trying to improve mm-hmm. and cared about comedy as its thing.
Yeah, there's now we're having a different version of that too that I've been seeing. Like you'll have people who built their following through whatever, non-stand-up comedy. They just built their following. Right. And then, yeah, now they're just coasting on that following mm-hmm. and they're not necessarily leaning into stand up as much as they should, you know?
Yeah.
And now, because I don't really blame them, most of them, because it's like, on one hand, like you have the business side and then you have the artistic side, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like the artistic side, where it's like you got to like, be on stage. I still go to open mics, you know. I'm yeah. touring, but I'm like, I'm going to open mics. I'm getting on stage as much as I can. But then it's been like, I've been sacrificing content now because I have to like wake up every day and push. But that is what, you know, helps me sell tickets.
Right.
Right. So it's like, it's
right.
Just
the model
like,
is completely changed. It's changed. Where the work has to go has changed.
Yeah.
I have a massive amount of respect for people who find in their way into comedy, however, and still keep trying. I mean, another early one's like Bo Burnham, right? Someone
right.
who got really famous on YouTube doing things, and it didn't like slow down what sort of art he ever wanted to do, and it didn't become like, I will have my YouTube kids come out and watch me. You know what I mean? Things like
oh,
that.
Oh, dude, I've seen that. Yeah, and they only perform for their audience. Oh, that actually, I was actually telling a friend about it. The difference now, because you have people who are, now you have so many just famous people who are just perform, who build an audience and just perform for their audience. Mm-hmm. So I go, the difference between that, a famous person and a comedian is he will get on stage in front of people who have no idea who he is and still have a good set. While a person who just builds his following, that's just a cat. They don't last long. You know, it used to,
yeah.
I mean, it's
they
still,
at least get, the audiences don't stay that size forever.
Right. It used to bother me a lot. About like with
yeah.
when it comes to so many from Viners to YouTube. Oh. I mean, even Laugh Factory, dude. The Laugh Factory, I have no respect. Like, if the Laugh Factory said we're not going to book on Metal, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I will take that as a compliment.
Sure.
You guys literally book Vine stars of 2012. Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
I forgot what the word Vine was, and because when you said Vine stars, I pictured records, vinyl records.
Records.
Like how. And then you were like, oh, Vine. I'm like, oh, I forgot.
I'm only 30.
I forgot about Vine.
I'm thinking about Pawn Stars, but for Pawn really short episodes.
But for props from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
That's Vine stars. Right. We have a gem, a monkey skull.
6 second episodes of.
Yeah, it is. There is. Yeah. Like it is, you know, any way you find your way in. And I'm very pleased when it's like someone who is just I got really famous on this other little thing. And then you see them like really good at stand-up and caring about that. And you're like, this is good. This is like a, not as often as you would like it to be, but you're like, this makes me, like I've done shows at a club where it was two rooms and I was in the smaller room. It was like 125 person, five, you know, like Thursday to Sunday. And then upstairs, like a 400 person one that was like a YouTube tutorial person selling out all of these shows. Cause you know, they sell the tickets. They got 8 million followers for whatever. I don't even want to say what kind of tutorials, because then you could find them. But then they do these, and then every show, their shows would be at 7, 9. I would be 7:30, 9:30, just for like seating purposes. Mm-hmm. Every show, people walked out of theirs because they were so bad and unprepared.
Yeah.
And the club would be like, you can go downstairs for free. And people came down, and I got a lot of fans from that.
Hell yeah.
Like people who would come down and be like, oh, it's a comedian.
Yeah.
And it was people who had never been to a comedy show even.
Right.
This was in DC.
Yeah.
And it's like people who had never been to a stand-up show, and they're like, whether they're like 21 and this is their first time going out and they're seeing the person they love from YouTube, and then they're like, what is happening? And they come downstairs and they're like, oh, I had people come Thursday and then they came to every other show the whole weekend because they'd never seen stand-up live.
Yeah.
And then I remember like Saturday they were like, you're saying a lot of the same stuff. And I was like, oh no, don't. That happens. Most people don't come five times in 3 days. But I was like, that is sort of the, it's like they couldn't get on, you know, they, what they do specifically creates the audience. They get, and then it just didn't seem like they, once they sold, they didn't care about what the show was.
No, they just, but they don't last long. They, it's like when Stormy Daniels like was like, all right, I'm a touring stand-up comedian now, because she was riding off the the fame of
Stormy Daniels writing. Everyone look that up. you'll see the discussion like, about it.
Charlie Sheen doing his like Tiger Blood tour he or
did
his
he did a tour because usually, which is which is shitty, because for stand-up it's like it's this craft that we love where we work so hard at, and it's like there's no, it's hard to get famous off of. While for other people, it's their last stop before they go broke.
I know it is. You know what I mean? It is crazy to meet people like, on the way up who are on the way down.
Yeah, yeah. you're like, okay, I'm like getting better. I'm headlining like some clubs here and there. But then you see like bigger famous people.
Yeah, you're like I could sell 800 tickets. That's great. And then they're like, I can't believe I can only sell 800 tickets. I'm fucking over.
Yeah,
yeah. People who've never tried to sell tickets to a thing. But I do have complete respect for people who found their way in alternatively, and then still did it.
There's like some great way. I'll say Steve-O. I know Steve-O. He works hard.
He's one of the first people I ever opened for.
Yeah.
And he, after sets, would be like, why do you think this didn't work? Or is there a way that is this not funny enough and too much of just a story of something?
Yeah.
And you just, you talk to him and you're like, your stories are so insane.
Yeah.
Like, no one has done this historically to themselves. And he, as he's, the longer he's gone, he's like more introspective and, but does work.
Yeah.
And that's just such a, it's nice. It makes you feel like less bad.
No, he's put in the work. There's a few. I'm trying to think of like any other celebrity that actually like.
In Chicago, like we would see Tim Meadows at open mics sometimes because he would tour and he would do stand-up shows. Yeah. But he's from like an improv sketch background.
Oh, Tim Meadows. Yeah.
And so like people would come to see him, but he wanted to make sure that he had an act.
I love
for them,
that.
You know? So he would come run sets and you'd be like, oh my God.
Same as Nicole Byer. Nicole Byer was big in the UCB UCB New York scene. Mm-hmm. And I think she was on Girl Code. She was absolutely, and she's hilarious. She was improv sketch girl.
Just like as funny as someone.
She's also really funny. But then, and then when she, so her being really good at improv and sketch, her transitioning over to stand up wasn't really like a huge.
Yeah, but it's still nice to see someone who like really cares how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Once the audience is there.
That makes sense.
All right, we got a few movie games I want to play. Real quick, we're going to take our second break here. All right, we got a few games that we're going to play here. The first game we're going to play on the podcast, and you can hit that button there, is called Before and Afters.
Okay.
Get ready to play Before and Afters.
How this game works, much like Freddy Gotti Fingered, I have combined two movies into one. I will read you the smashed together movie plot. You have to tell me the smashed together movie title. Okay. So Freddy Gotti Fingered would be one. That's be Freddy Got Fingered and Gotti. Saving Private Silverman. The Wolf of Wally Street.
Okay.
Indiana, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Is that one? I don't know. I tried to make one with Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal, the Skulls.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith goes to Washington.
Right. Yeah. So I'll read you the plot. You two guess the title. You can work together. You can compete against one another. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. We'll work together.
I want to give a shout out to the people on the Discord for the podcast who sent in some of these titles. Rocky, Akimdo, Masubi, Occam's Frazier, Bubs. Great job.
Oh, Occam's Frazier. That's good.
That's nice. A good name.
That's
right?
A good one. It's a cool name.
All right. First one. A young aspiring chocolatier arrives in Europe to establish his shop and ends up encountering the Manson family next door to his neighbors, Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate.
Once upon a time in the Wonka factory.
We're close. Mm-hmm. How could you say it in the
Wonk upon a time in
Wonk upon a time in Hollywood?
Wonk upon a time in Hollywood is correct.
Yeah, I was like, I know Wonk is in there, but I don't know where it fits.
Nice.
Oh wow, Wonk upon a time.
That's rough.
It's upsetting to say and read. Number two, an outnumbered Spartan army marches into certain death. A job where they believe they are actors doing their typical act, but a Mexican village believes they are real heroes who will rid them of El Guapo.
300 Tropic Thunders.
300 Amigos.
300 Amigos is correct.
Tropic Thunder is... I am just now realizing that Three Amigos and Tropic Thunder are somewhat similar.
It is very much a similar plot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Where it's like, we think we're doing the bit, but everyone else thinks we're the real thing. Yeah. Tropic Thunder... Tropic Thunder's made my favorite movie to watch with someone who hasn't seen it.
It's free right now on YouTube.
Real on YouTube?
yeah, YouTube Red or something. Well, I do have YouTube Red, the ad free YouTube.
Yeah.
I have YouTube Premium, so maybe because it came with.
Now you're just bragging.
No, I pay $20 a month for YouTube Premium.
They do play. Doesn't it feel like the ads were getting out of control?
That's
on
why
YouTube?
I bought it. The ads were getting so bad, and then now like I can't watch YouTube without my account logged in. Yeah. Because as soon as the ads come, I'm like, I can't do this.
If you just let it autoplay and like let the ads play, YouTube will start giving you like 35-minute long ads.
Really?
Like, yeah, because I used to put on like a playlist of like 80s music videos while I worked. Just in the background, like, oh, 80s
oh,
music
yeah,
videos.
You have to hit skip now.
And
oh,
if you don't skip them, the ads get
they
longer.
They just push
30-minute long.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get like a whole commercial about some... like new dialysis technology or something.
Wow. Okay. That's not the best.
It sucks. Yeah.
All right. Number three, after finding out his parents were not killed protecting wild gorillas like he thought, a redneck janitor with a mullet tries to track them down with the help of a 15-foot gorilla he's befriended.
Okay. I think
I'm so fucking
I wasn't sure what the gorilla aspect was at first, but the mullet's Joe Dirt, right? So there's only so many gorilla movies. I'm going to guess it's Mighty Joe Dirt.
Mighty Joe Dirt is correct.
Dude, good. I was thinking Planet of the Apes, Planet of the Dojer.
Planet of the Joe Dirt. Planet of the Spades.
Yeah. Planet of the Spades.
Like Mighty Joe Young is one of those 90s gorilla movies that
that was a weird trend for a little bit.
I don't know what the plot is.
Also, Mighty Joe Young and Meet Joe Black, I think, came out around the same time and have nothing to do with each other, like nothing similar except the title cadence.
The gorilla came to Earth as death. Death is the gorilla.
I've never seen Meet Joe Black. I just know there's a scene where is it Brad Pitt gets hit by a car? In a crazy way out of nowhere at like the end of the movie.
I thought it was like death.
Yeah. Is that right? Like,
yeah.
Comes to Earth in the form of like a guy.
I think
something.
He's death. Brad Pitt is death. Are we right?
What movie is this?
Meet Joe Black.
Yeah. I've never seen that one.
I just know there's like a very, every once in a while it'll become like a, it'll trend again because it's so insane that at the end of the movie, is it the very end? Jake, I don't know if you're at the end of the movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
None of us has.
Brad Pitt just walks and gets hit by a car out of like and flies up in the air. And people are like, what are we doing? And it's one of those weird where like, this is nothing like the tone of the movie. That's all I know about it. I'm sure that's what the people who made the movie hoped I would remember.
I love a movie with a wild tonal shift at the end.
Yeah. Two more. Tornado chasers prepare a new device to release in the biggest storm in decades, led by a husband and wife who are both secretly assassins.
Mr. and Mrs. Sharknado.
This one is an upsettingly good sound.
Mr. and Mrs.
Are we getting close though? With
you,
Mr.
you got one of them.
Mr. and Mrs. Smithster.
It's even sounds even better.
Oh. Mr. and Mrs. Twistsmith.
It sounds even better.
Twister.
We're looking for Twister and Mrs. Smith.
Oh my
Twister
god.
Twister and Mrs. Smith.
Twister.
And the Mrs. cleanest sound. It's an upsetting title. Instead of it's Twister and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Miss Swister.
This is like a rolling paper brand we're trying to pitch.
Twister.
Final one. This one.
Wait, are we skipping it?
It's Twister and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, it's we're Twister right and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we gave it a better name.
I think you guys were more there than it was.
Twister and Mrs. Smith.
Final one. A high school government teacher attempts to get an opponent for the young girl running for student body president, but their British small town is inexplicably overrun with zombies.
Okay, so we got election is the first part, and then...
Zombieland?
The good part about
hosting this is I couldn't get any of these.
Oh, it was Shaun of the Dead.
Elect Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Oh, we end on a beautiful note. Also, I would watch that one.
That was
one.
Great. Yeah, what Elect Shaun of the Dead.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
I love that little...
Elect Shaun.
Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead. What's it called? The End of the World is the third one?
The the Cornetto trilogy?
Yeah, those are all very
Something
fun.
Like that.
All right. We got two more games. This game we're going to play is called Build the Perfect Movie. I think we got a little... Yeah.
Build a perfect movie.
How this game works is I'll give you a category. You have to pick two movies from that category each, so you're competing against each other, whose Rotten Tomatoes score add up to as close to 100 as possible without going over.
Oh.
So Price is Right rules apply. Yeah. So I'll give you a category. You'll each pick your first movie. I'll tell you the number that one is, so then you can pick your second movie based on that.
Gotcha.
We want to get as close to
100 as possible without going over the category. You know what we're going to do? Because Indiana Jones, there's five of them. We're going to have to build the perfect movie that's part of like a franchise or where there's more than one of them. You can pick any. You could be like Fast and Furious 8 and Indiana Jones 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I usually keep score. The score is 8-8 right now.
Franchise.
I don't know. Okay. It can be the first one. It can be the second one. But there has to be part of a thing where there's more than one movie. That'll be our category. Ahmed, you'll pick first. Tyler, you'll pick second. And then we'll review our scores. Okay. I would say the most frequent category is people try and pick a horrible one.
That's what I was thinking. And then a good one. Yeah. All right.
And they can be different franchises, too.
That's my category.
So whatever you want to do, pick your first movie that's part of any franchise.
Of any franchise?
Any franchise, anything ever.
I'm going to go with Lord of the Rings. That's my favorite franchise.
All right. Which one?
Let's go with Two Towers. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Okay. Tyler, your first movie?
I want to do Transformers The Last Knight.
I'm like upset you knew that was the tag.
All right. I think that's
the Transformers The Last Knight is a 16%.
Okay.
So you're looking for a movie that's good. 84.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings Two Towers is a 95%. Fuck. So you need a movie that is 5 or less. You need to think of the literal worst movie you could possibly ever think of.
Yeah.
Tyler, you'll pick first because you have more to make up.
Okay.
Ahmed, you're trying to think of a movie that's 5 or less.
I thought it was
going
to be in the 80s.
I am going to try to stick in the same franchise. I'm going to go with Bumblebee.
All right. I think that... 95, that might be the lowest rated of the Lord of the Rings movies, too. I think the other one's like 97 and 98.
Yeah.
All right, so you're looking for a movie that's 5% or less on Rotten Tomatoes.
Dave Chappelle, Sticks and Stones.
part of the Dave Chappelle franchise.
From the Dave Chappelle franchise.
Oh, that's the DCU. Very, very, very funny. The DCU. all right, here we go. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, 95%. Sticks and Stones is a 40%.
Wait, I thought it was like way lower because it got like
way. It got some bad reviews. It's got a few good reviews.
Yeah.
40%. Audience score 99.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, because when it came out, it was Rotten Tomatoes, it was like 10% or 20, but yeah. Audience score was 99.
Sounds like the Chappelle Army came out for it.
Yeah. The Transformers, The Last Knight is a 16%. Bumblebee, 91%. Ah, Bumblebee, cool. Almost as good as Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
I thought Bumblebee would be in like the mid to low 80s.
Yeah, I was thinking it would be the... I thought Two Towers was going to be in the 80s. Out of all those three... Fellowship was how much?
Return of the King's 94.
Yeah, that one was good.
And Fellowship is 91. So actually, Two Towers is the highest rated one, but they're all in the 90s.
That's my favorite one.
Man, they're so good.
Return of the
King. Lord of the Rings is so fucking good.
It's, bro, I like... That is the one I rewatch. It's right now the extended cut is on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I will rewatch it every year. Or every 6 months, I find myself rewatching.
It is wild. It's and the extended great. Cuts are also better. Because you're just like, I'm so happy to have more of this.
I've never watched
it. I'm very grateful because throughout our childhood or growing up, we had Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, mm-hmm. and Star Wars franchise. Like, we had some sick franchises.
Yeah.
Now it's all nostalgia. They're just all reboots of shit.
Yeah. I mean, Harry Potter... That it's crazy. I mean, they're still doing Harry Potter. They're still trying.
Yeah, the Crimes of Grindelwald, and then
those feel like the Star Wars first three, well, or the prequel type of feel type of thing.
Or like The Hobbit. Well, The Hobbit was good. It wasn't.
The Hobbit was too much. This is a 90-page book.
Do Harry Potter
that they made into 11 hours.
Yeah.
Versus The Lord of the Rings is 1,000 pages that they made into 11 hours. And you're like, you have the same amount to tell. And The Hobbit was actually like my first favorite book as a kid. Mm-hmm. I remember reading it because it's so short and it's so simple. It's like nothing like Lord of the Rings.
He went out. He found this ring.
Yeah.
But they killed a dragon. And
it's like, so cool. It's straight. And then I remember being like, all right, I'll read Lord of the Rings. And I like go to the school library. I'm like, the fuck? Like, and it was like the movie edition of the book, so it was all three of the books in one. And then The Hobbit was like a almost like a script length. You know what I mean? Those old like script books or whatever. And I'm like, this the same guy?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, he wrote a lot. Yeah. All right, we're gonna do one last game. Unfortunately, no one won Build the Perfect Movie. Like, so I get to keep the podcast. That was the prize. The last game we're gonna play, I forgot which ones I sent you here. Is a game called Guess What Movie Trailer Kyle's Dad Is Describing, having only watched the trailer and never having heard of the movie, the game. hold on. We got the theme song. You got to play that sweet, sweet theme song.
Love a concise title.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay. Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Guess what movie trailer Kyle's dad is describing, okay. Having only watched a trailer and never having heard of the movie game.
Jake, I just texted you the one that I want to play here. So we're going to play. How this works is my dad, who is an old man in Missouri, who has not been to a movie theater since Space Jam 1, watches a movie trailer, describes what's happening in the movie trailer, and then... You have to guess what movie it's a trailer for. He's almost certainly never seen the movie or heard of it.
Okay. Pull back. Why? He hasn't been to the theater since Space Jam.
One.
With Michael.
I had to start saying
there's
one.
Only one Space Jam. Hold on, huh? There's only one Space Jam.
Yeah. You haven't seen Space Jam product placement with LeBron James?
No.
Space Jam ad sales?
Nah.
It'd be so funny if he went to the theater just to see Space Jam.
I wanted to do that, but he was like, meh.
It's a tradition.
Yeah. He just falls asleep in movies.
Yeah, tired my brother is like that too. Yeah. He sleeps in every fucking movie.
I'll give my dad this. He's been catching up on movies. He likes to watch them on TV. You know, it's a lot easier now too. Yeah. And he you can play it. I love the little shakers.
Yeah.
He watched a movie. It was so funny. He was like, I just watched this movie. It was hilarious. Adam Sandler was in it. Who's like one of the five actors he could name, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Adam Sandler was in it. He goes, the King of Queens was in it. Which is what he calls Kevin James, the human. Yeah. He would call him that to his face if he met him. He'd be like, hi, King of Queens.
Yeah.
And he's like, King of Queens, I think, was in it, and Pac-Man. And I was like, Pixels? And he's like, yeah, that movie was awesome.
Pac-Man's my favorite actor.
But those are his like big three of actors. Adam Sandler, King of Queens, and Pac-Man. He's like, can you believe they got Pac-Man?
Got him out of retirement.
I know. So he's just been sitting at home with his more famous wife. Okay, so here we go. My dad describes a movie trailer. You got to tell me what movie it's a trailer for.
Okay. She's wondering if her dad is coming home soon. It's up to mom and who? Well, now he has to save his wife. A lot of shots of guys with guns in tight spaces. Hallways, air ducts. I'm not sure what side he's on. Everyone is using radios. More radios. How do they all know how to get a hold of each other on different types of radios? Gunfights and a lot of elevators.
Who's it starring?
I mean, it sounds like Die Hard or something. Wait, really?
It is Die Hard. It is.
I was just like elevators and how and Vince.
That was good.
All right, we got to do the other one because that was too good of a guess.
I'm genuinely impressed.
That was like, wild. Here's another one.
I'm just surprised your dad hasn't seen it.
I was thinking Man on Fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's big buildings and...
Yeah.
Die Hard, that's like prime dad.
I was thinking Denzel Washington, Man on Fire.
He probably doesn't know Bruce Willis's name, but he probably recognizes him.
Yeah.
Him, that guy.
All right, we'll do one more here, and then we're getting out of here. Here's our final day game here.
Okay. He wants those kids to tell his friends. Now he has a mustache and is in a pool. They're arguing about how to pronounce his safe word. They're all saying the same thing about themselves. He did a bunch of crunches and is ready to fight. Now he got hit in the face. He's planning one big one. That definitely hurt. They didn't have time to make it right. Slow, dramatic show of him walking down the street with his friends, spinning out on a motorcycle.
This one's so much longer somehow.
Everyone wants to see him do it. The mustache is definitely fake. He can't grow one.
I think that's just his commentary. With the mustache thing.
Keep it objective.
I like how he keeps doing this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like recording it on a voice memo on my little brother's phone or something.
He's eating peanut butter the whole time.
Most of them, he doesn't even turn the TV off.
Fuck. Is it, what's it called again? The Bad Boy? No. The Outsiders.
It's not The Outsiders. Newer than that.
Training for something.
Never Back Down?
Here He's Comes not. The Boom?
No, it's a comedy.
What's that Will Ferrell movie where like...
No.
No?
man, he doesn't know any actors. That's
in this one, I don't think this would be a tough one for him.
Somebody's got a mustache and then they don't?
Clearly the mustache is fake. Oh my! But he's doing crunches because he's getting girls in the pool. Joe Dirt?
No, no. Closer though. My dad would know David
Deuce
Spade.
Deuce Bigelow?
No. It's Rob Schneider's Fox News stand-up special. No, it's not.
He has a Fox News?
I think so. I think that's what it was on.
Fox Nation.
We're looking for Hot Rod.
That is, is a Hot Rod? Oh, hot yeah, rod. It is.
Oh, yeah, he does wear a fake.
Yeah,
like
it was
that.
Andy Samberg's. Yeah. I've never seen that movie.
I love ending on like a nice... Okay.
I've never seen that movie.
You know, you also have never seen is Indiana Jones. Thanks for being here. Thank you for having never seen Indiana Jones.
Dude, of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. Thank you for coming on. And yeah, my comedy special comes out on YouTube February 24th. Check it out.
Oh, that's almost exactly when this will be out, I think. It's going to be like
perfect
timing.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
Let everyone know what it's called. And
it's called Special Not Special because it's a YouTube special. So I call it Special Not Special. What was I gonna say? I'm Endo Cadre. Special, not special. Ahmed loves bread on all platforms. The reason why it's Ahmed loves bread because it just rhymes. Ahmed and bread, it rhymes.
It's great and it's easy to remember and type in.
I'm very weird when it comes to naming things.
No, it's
like,
nice. Yeah,
whatever.
You want to be like just something you can say to someone that they'll be able to do on their own.
Yeah. Ahmed loves bread. Also, if you watch the special, you're a fan. You become a breadcrumb. If you come out to a show, you become a breadhead. If you buy merch, you become a purebred. But at the end of the day, we're all breadwinners.
There's levels to this.
I love this so much.
And if you and I sleep, if we sleep together, we're in bread. Hello.
Spicy.
Oh, thank you so much. Tyler, anything you want to let people know about?
Oh, sure. To illustrate the opposite of Ahmed loves bread strategy, you can find me on all social media platforms at T Jax Kissin, which is T Jackson with an X instead of a C. And if you want to see me live, you probably should live in Los Angeles because I host music trivia at Permanent Records Roadhouse and I host Late Late Breakfast at the Art Theater monthly.
Cool. Great.
That's it for me.
Thank you guys so much. If you want to submit your own before and afters or also play the games from the podcast against robots we've programmed, go to the Discord at fart.kyleayers.com. And thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
That is it for myself. For Ahmed, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our producer, Jake Robinson. Thank you guys so, so much. We have footage up on YouTube at youtube.com/neverseenit. Please, if you are around one of these places I'm going, the best thing you can do is kyleayers.com. I have a newsletter, and I send that out. I think I'm just bad at that, too. I don't know. If you know how to get people out to shows or be present online, hit me up. I don't. I love this podcast. This is so much fun. This is my way to get a hold of you, you know, pretty much anybody out there. Anyways, thank you so much. Shout out everyone on the Discord. Shout out you guys for listening, and wherever you're listening, I appreciate you.